Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and today I'm joined by Dr. Jackie Mack Harris and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And how are you all doing there in California?
Doing
hello.
Well.
Doing
hello.
Well,
Becky.
Looking forward to the weekend.
It's Friday.
Yes, it is Friday, and I always celebrate Friday. It's awesome,
Friday.
And especially when it's a holiday weekend, we're going to be celebrating mm-hmm. Memorial Day, and we're so grateful for all of our servicemen and women who have served mm-hmm. the country over the years. But, you know, we usually have, like, some picnics and gatherings over the holiday weekend, but, you know, if you're not connected, mm-hmm. that can also be a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, here at New Life, we talk all the time about the importance of connection, and, you know, but it can be hard to find friends and find connection because people are people-y. And mm-hmm. so what would you two offer, you know, to somebody who might be feeling isolated or feeling alone this holiday weekend or any weekend?
Well, I can tell you as a single mom over the years, holiday weekends were always harder because that's where mm-hmm. families get together or couples do things, yeah. right? Yeah. And so I have found, or my kids go off because mm-hmm. they're doing stuff with their friends. So I have found that mm-hmm. I need to plan ahead. Mm-hmm. And I'm more of a spontaneous, mm-hmm. what do I feel like doing kind of person, yeah. but I have to plan ahead and make, you know, to make things happen,
yeah.
right?
I am also prior military, mm-hmm. and I think about loneliness and the friends that I have that may be isolating because mm-hmm. of, you know, their history, and people are out in gatherings, and that can be really overwhelming for some people who have experienced military trauma of some sort. And so I think reaching out and giving them a call, like remember mm. your military friends or even your strong friends, just reach out. And if you're that person, just make a phone call and say hi. You don't have to commit to going out and doing anything, but at least keep your connection going. Sometimes we're so introverted, we don't mm-hmm. want to connect because then those connections want us to do a lot of stuff. But just be honest about your boundary and say, I've just been thinking about you and I wanted to say hi. And that could be enough. You don't mm-hmm. have to commit to going to the family cookout.
Right.
You can do as much as the family cookout. Mm-hmm. The family cookout can be a battlefield of its own.
Right.
So, you know, there is that as well, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think that it can be challenging, whether it's a holiday weekend or otherwise, when we are feeling loneliness or feeling isolation, yes. to make that first mm-hmm. step. It can feel risky. And yet, you know, we say this all the time, you know, that is such an important thing. Now, the other thing I always like to clarify is that it doesn't mean that you have to have 25 good friends.
Right. No.
And I think that can be, mm-hmm. you know, that message can be interpreted any way you want. But I think a lot of times when we say get connected, people start to think, oh, I need, like, you know, 12 people. No, you don't. You just need to have some people that know you.
And I think when people are lonely, you really have to combat the negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. if you're lonely, then lonely leads to loser, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And then shame about, oh, if I reach shame. Out, then they know mm-hmm. I'm lonely, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And no, that isn't true.
And
so,
and we want you and want you, them you, to know you're lonely.
Yes.
You want them to know. And so it's just this weird,
it
right?
is
it's
weird.
This weird thing where you want them to know, but you don't want them to pity you. Mm-hmm. Right? So then you don't
well,
say
Well, and
anything.
You know what? You know, we're always trying to help people. We've got a tip sheet that you can call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and get it. It's mm-hmm. loneliness, 10 tips for finding friends, and there's some, you know, little helpers. And you know what I think about? In Memorial Day, in honor of the servicemen and women who have served us, maybe a way to combat the loneliness is to serve somewhere this weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's your local homeless shelter or maybe your church or, you know, even if there's a 5K somewhere, you're going to hand out water. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's ways to connect with people. We're going to connect you to you when you come back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking your calls, and we're going to go talk to John, who's calling us from Reading, Pennsylvania, listens on WBYN. Hi, John. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. I am looking to date, possibly going through a divorce, and I'm just curious if that is something that's not biblical, or, you know, how I should go about that. You know, obviously there's a lot of dynamics that need to be addressed and worked through.
Okay. So, John, you broke up a little bit, but what I think you said is I would like to know if, what should I pursue a woman who's going through a divorce?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that right?
And okay, John, can I ask you, is she at the beginning of her divorce? Is the divorce almost final? Where is she in the process? How long has the marriage been in disarray?
So the marriage has been in disarray for probably 4 years. And so she is just starting in the divorce process.
Okay. So, Jackie, you're smiling. Here's the thing. When you're going through, someone who's going through a divorce does need a lot of friends. And when your marriage is dissolving and you feel rejected by your spouse, mm-hmm. For whatever the reason is for the breaking up, they no longer want to be in the relationship, or you no longer want to be with them, right? There's a really strong need to recouple. And people recouple often very quickly. And part of it is just because you need people to go through this process with you. So just on an emotional level, you need to be aware that stepping into a situation where someone's in the divorce process means you're that support person. And your purpose may just be to get that person through their divorce and to the other side. Now, some people end up then being together with that next person, but it's coming out of a place of their hurt and need, not necessarily that they are in a good solid place and you really are someone that they would want to be with.
Because you could end up being in a trauma bond.
Yes.
And so you then become the place for solace and soothing in chaos and crisis. And what I've experienced in couples therapy has been that those people then marry, and then there's a constant return to conflict and crisis so that we can get to the soothing and solace.
Okay.
Right, because that's where the connection started.
Okay.
Right, and so I would take it very, very, very slow, and wherever you go, there you are. So I tell my people who are in divorce, you are still going to be you, whether you're in this relationship or another relationship. So do your own work so you can realize why you made the choices you made in the relationship. Don't focus on what the other person did. That doesn't matter. They're not with you. You have to figure you out so that you don't take the same behaviors into a new relationship. And so if I'm you, I'm going to be cautious about that, because this person needs to do some work to understand themselves and why they choose what they choose, why they feel the way they feel, respond the way they respond to certain things. And so maybe how we love could be helpful for you all to be both reading during this time so that you can learn about attachment, learn about yourself, whether you all end up together in the long run or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would.
Well, and here's another.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Becky.
I want to give another view.
Yeah.
John, here's the other thing is, who's telling her to work on her marriage? Like, are you that person? Or, like, you know, that's the hard part, is that she's not completely done with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so many times when, even though it has been a struggle for 4 years, like you said, I don't know what work she has done, and I don't know where they are in their process. But here's the thing. You probably don't want to be the reason that she didn't continue that work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really helpful when somebody's going through a difficult time in their marriage and it looks like divorce is going to be on the horizon, for the person who's going through divorce, and I think, Jackie, you just referred to this, is to allow them to have the space and time to heal and to and to kind of settle before they begin a new relationship. Because here's what happens, and I know, Jackie and Jill, you've heard this in your therapy rooms before. The second marriage then comes into some struggles, and then they start to question, maybe we got together too soon before the divorce was settled. And so you just want to have a really good start. And if by any chance her marriage could be saved, that would be a really good thing. So, I mean, that's my two cents.
And how great, well, how great would it be to say, you know what, I really like you, but I realize you're not in a place where you're optimally available. And so I want to be your friend, kind of maybe a little more, you know, at a distance. I want to be your friend because I want to make sure you do everything you can, and that if this thing ends, it's really what, you know, needed to happen. So I might be here when that is done.
Right. Because statistically, second people who are divorced tend towards divorce again.
And so it's a higher rate.
It's a higher
rate.
The rate of divorce goes up the second and third time. So maybe take a step back and just slow things way, way, way down. And I agree with Becky. Even in therapy, you know, if someone comes to me and says, I don't like my therapist, I'll ask them to go back and tell their therapist that.
Yep.
Try to work it out with your therapist and let them know what went wrong.
It's not just for happy feelings in therapy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people get triggered.
And they sometimes can go back and work it out.
I would...
Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I would just say I have encouraged her to get into help and therapy, and I just felt like she was really depending on me emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I did tell her, I said, hey, this cannot continue. Stop speaking until things are settled.
Mm-hmm. That was wise. Yes.
Well,
there's
your answer.
You already knew the answer, John.
I have been married. Okay. I just feel very, I guess, conflicted, because I want to do what's right, but I kind of have butterflies because I've never been married and would like to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you don't want to risk losing this opportunity. But if this is the right woman for you, you've also set a expectation, right? Go work on yourself,
right?
And so that you're not her emotional support.
You're not
person,
her rescuer,
right? You're not her rescuer.
You're so establishing trust. While she may not like it because it doesn't meet her immediate need, she will so respect you and trust you for honoring the process.
You said something really important, John. Okay. You said, I don't want to lose this opportunity, or you're feeling that way. Here's the thing. Marriage is such an important decision. Any pressure that you have to get married is usually a warning signal. It's usually, if you feel any pressure towards that relationship, you got to step back and maybe work with somebody to process that. But I agree with taking a step back from her. I'm going to send, I just think it's a great opportunity to give some space for both of you. We're going to send you a copy of Every Man's Bible. Mm-hmm. It's got some great devotionals in it that I think will help you in this journey. And we're so glad you called, and we'll be praying for you in this big decision, and hope that something we said helped you today. Now we're going to talk to Patty, who's calling us from Arlington, Virginia, listens on WAVA, and we are so glad you called. Patty, how can we help you today?
Hey, good afternoon. You guys talked a little earlier about a tip sheet on sexual abuse, and I have a history where I had, you know, quite an experience in my early childhood that actually went into my teen years. That really didn't come to light in my life until well into my 30s. And it impacted my ability to be able to be present in my family and my marriage and so forth. I'm now well on with my life, and I've done a lot of repair and recovery work, but I wonder, and I'm divorced now, and I'd like very much to be married and so forth, and I'm wondering if some of the past history has caused me to put up walls regarding being available for a relationship, even though consciously I would like that, and I'm, you know, very outgoing and make myself available and active socially and so forth. But I'm just wondering if I'm sort of self-sabotaging and protecting myself unknowingly. Mm. Like, how do you
That's
know
a great
if you're
question.
Putting up those walls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question, Patty. We'll send you a copy of those tips, the 6 steps to healing the wounds of childhood sexual abuse. And anybody that wants one, they can call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. It's free. But Jackie or Jill, how would you direct Patty in this healing process?
Patty, are you in therapy? Do you have a personal therapist?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've worked toward it. And because there's also been a lot of rejection terms of parents from when I was young, and all this happened, and as well as with my husband who divorced me, as well as my children who also in their ways of wanting to do their own thing and not respecting me because my boundaries weren't all that great. I really had none when I was so a big degree of rejection, although on the surface you would never suspect that.
Right, but it sounds like what you're describing is that already in your previous relationships, this abuse has affected those relationships, right?
It has.
So you've seen how it already has. So, of course, it's affecting you in moving forward, too, because look at the track record. And the hard thing is, when we're abused in childhood, we decide certain things about ourselves because of it. And then as we get into relationship, we're trying to, in a lot of ways, be what people need us to be. And then here you've had all this rejection. Ouch, that hurts.
Right.
And so some of the work, too, is looking at how you keep recreating the rejection that you're receiving. And how you keep playing the role, perhaps unknowingly, like it's unconscious, of that child that was abused. Because
can you talk more about that?
Well, it's unresolved for you. It's unresolved for you. So we keep replaying whatever our trauma or our drama is that's unresolved.
Right.
We keep replaying it. It's like we assign roles to a play, to our play, to all the people in our lives.
And so it might look like you got hurt repeatedly in a certain relationship in a certain way. You may not be being assaulted in the same way, but the result, the way a person makes you feel in a relationship is the same. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if there's any pattern to the rejection, the ways in which people have rejected you or the things that they have said are their reasons for pulling away from you. Is there any pattern there that you can see that might highlight a particular behavior of yours that kind of keeps that wall up?
Well, going back to what you previously said, I think that you hit the nail on the head when you talk about how one responds to childhood rejection. In other words, meeting a need, pleasing a person when you're a child, that kind of thing.
Right.
Creates the same sort of behavior mm-hmm. in future relationships,
yes.
to be a pleaser
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and to really let your boundaries be violated continually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's what you know, the dance that you know how to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you have a sense
mm-hmm.
of how mm-hmm. it is that you're continuing to maybe self-sabotage. Maybe the setup is in the pleasing. And then maybe there's some disappointment in the ways in which people respond to your giving. And so your question is, how do you know if you are doing that? And it sounds like you know because you're experiencing
yep,
it.
Yeah.
You're well, telling us. And we'll come back after the break and we'll finish the call.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're talking with Patty. And Patty, you've done a lot of work over your lifetime, but you're really trying to get down to really understanding how to connect. Jackie or Jill, how do you want to
well, and
Patty,
I just want to say
next.
I love, Patty, that you really are seeing it. You're mm-hmm. seeing the dynamics and how they're mm-hmm. getting repeated over and over again. So even though you're asking us the questions, I think you are aware, and that is what you need to be, is aware. And so
yeah.
that, and to see how your boundaries were violated and that that wasn't right.
Yeah.
That wasn't
mm-hmm.
okay. And can you risk now having stronger boundaries? Not doing so much people pleasing. It's scary because the fear is, well, then people will really go away. But they've been going away.
Yeah.
Right. They've been
not
going,
it's not held
well,
them
actually,
to you.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying, because allowing people to violate your boundaries makes you a target for them to go
it
away
does.
Because there's no respect.
Exactly.
You know? So
and sometimes
as for,
sometimes yeah. they don't know it's a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not, they maybe don't even understand what boundaries are. And so really, if just coming from a perspective of this is what's okay for me and this is what's not okay for me,
mm-hmm.
then you can be
yep.
more clear yourself.
Yep.
What is okay? What's not okay?
It's not
yes.
about them. It's about
right.
you.
It's about you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and being yeah. okay with people's disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And so in
there
your
you
work, as you're working with your therapist, maybe work on tolerating people's response to your no. Because
mm-hmm.
if they can be okay with your yes, they can be okay with your no, but we can't control how they respond to it.
And it's okay if they don't like
it's
it.
Okay if
they don't have
like
to
so
like
that
it.
Might be your growth area.
Yeah.
That you feel like that when you say no or you don't please, the response that you get is their unhappiness or something negative. That's their option.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to
That's
be
right.
okay with the fact that they're not okay with your no. That's not your problem.
And some people
right,
in
right.
your world who you have really people-pleased a lot, right, they
mm-hmm.
might have the hardest time
mm-hmm.
as
they
you start to make these.
By it.
Yes, because they're used to you being one way.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. That's
right.
part of the growing pains, right?
And you can just say, I'm choosing not to do
yeah,
that anymore.
I'm practicing new behaviors.
Yeah.
I realize the old ones aren't working for me anymore.
But don't
right.
treat them like they're upset with you automatically.
Yes.
Sometimes we believe a person's going to feel a certain way, so we start acting as though they feel that way, and then we get what we
yes,
signed up for.
Exactly.
So that could be a part of the sabotage, is that you assume
right.
they feel a particular way, and you then tell yourself a particular story and walk it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they react to you according to how you are now behaving.
Yeah, exactly.
So if these are people who are in relationship with you, who you care about, they can tolerate your no, and you just keep loving them and see if
and
that changes anything. Becky?
And I think that we can get you connected to a life recovery group, and I think a codependency group would really be a great place to practice what Jackie's talking about. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, which, you know, talks about all of these things, about understanding, you know, that just because they don't like what you're doing doesn't mean that they're wrong or that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a practice. But we're glad you called today, Patty, and we'll also send you a copy of that tip sheet. You know, we want to inform people and help people to go forward in their life. And one of the ways that we do that is at our Every Man's Battle workshop. We hear all the time about guys who have made this radical change in their life. And we're so excited about this new way of living. It's free of, you know, porn and affairs, and they've got their sexual integrity intact. It's amazing. But what we fail to take advantage of is how to heal the woman who's in partner with that relationship. You know, we hear about husbands making this new ground and just really having a great life. We have a great workshop for women who've been affected by sexual betrayal. And whether you're still with the man or not, I would encourage you, take the step for your own healing and join us at Restore. We're going to be having Restore in July, and Stacy Sadler and Laura Manja McDonald are our speakers, and they both are they're both incredible presenters, but also have been where you've been and are on the other side and healthy and whole. And I think that it's going to be a great step for you to take. I know it's a big risk, but if this is part of your story, there's help and there's hope. So give us a call, and or even go to newlife.com and click on Restore and just see what it's all about. We would love for you to experience that wholeness and that help on the other side of sexual betrayal. And we're going to go to Esther, who's calling us from Arlington, Virginia, listens on WAVA. Hi, Esther. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes,
now we can. Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I was listening to a caller the other day, and it sounded like I was talking to or hearing my twin sister. Long story short, I've been married 21 years to a narcissistic man, and I just recently had that epiphany. And just like her situation, he has controlled me all throughout our marriage financially. And just as she described, he has doubts tons of love towards the children, always says, "I love you." And there are many times he has doused all that love onto them. And then when he walks out the door to go to work, he doesn't even look in my direction, doesn't even acknowledge me. And so it's extremely hurtful. And he supposedly was raised in a Christian home. Both of his parents were ministers. So he has all of this Christian foundation, but I don't see it exemplified in the day-to-day. And I promise I'm getting to my question.
That's okay. Well, Esther, hold on for just a second. We're going to go to a break. You can hear the music. If you have a question that you want to throw out before we go to the break, that's okay. Or you can wait and ask your question after the break.
I'll definitely wait.
Okay, great. Okay, we'll wait. I know. Sometimes you got to get all the details out, and it's important. But we'll be back after the break, and we'll listen to the whole question. We're glad you joined us, and we're going to be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were in the middle of a great question. We're waiting on the edge of our seats. Esther, how can we help you today?
Awesome. So I'll summarize. I've been a wife of 21 years. We have 4 children. He's controlled me financially. And like I said, he douses all the love onto the children. Sometimes he walks past me as if I don't exist. So here is my question. I happen to be African-American, so it's one thing when you are rejected by the KKK. I expect that. I'm black. But it's one thing when you're in a so-called Christian marriage and you are constantly rejected by your husband. That is hard to accept. So because I have considered divorce, because I am such a lonely wife, I vacillate with the what I've read in 1 Corinthians 7:10, which the Apostle Paul says, not I, but the Lord commands a wife ought not depart from her husband. And I wonder sometimes if Paul was in his right mind when he wrote that, because I'm wondering why would you've written that, Paul. But because it's in the Bible, and because I try to honor God's word, what does a wife like me do when she's constantly rejected by her husband, yet she's read, she should not depart from him?
Esther. Yeah.
Great question.
Esther, you mentioned that you're black. Is your husband?
Yes, African-American. Okay. Yes, he's an RN, okay. Has worked the front line of this COVID battle. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What should you do in terms of the narcissism, or should you stay in the marriage? Or in terms of the idea about narcissism?
What should I do as far as, should I leave the marriage and just really, the children and I, we will survive on our own, or should I stay and try to work it out? So that's where I vacillate. Mm-hmm. I want to leave, but the only reason I have not left is because of 1 Corinthians 7:10. Mm-hmm. That is the only reason.
Okay. Well, and yes, and that's a good reason, and I'm glad that you're being thoughtful about this and really weighing out and what would the Lord have you to do. That being said, there are some situations that are beyond tolerable, right? Okay. And I think you have to weigh that out. And often we think that we have tried everything that we know to try, and that's probably true because it's everything we know, mm-hmm. or everything we can think of. And so that's where I think you have to broaden, and perhaps that's why you're calling, and kind of take your problem and maybe look at it from several different angles. We were talking a little bit at the break about narcissism. And while for us as therapists, you know, that conjures up meaning in things, I think it can be overused in that there is a whole continuum of people that have narcissistic traits or features, mm-hmm. and how they play out. And along that continuum, from mild to more severe, right, that it's not something that we have to say, oh, they're a narcissist, therefore, end of story. Right. And so often it's used to kind of say there's no hope.
Yeah.
And so I don't know where your husband is on that continuum. I do know that all behavior has meaning. Mm-hmm. And so what has happened for him where he doesn't want to engage with you, right? That the children, okay, they're younger. He's not threatened by them, right? Yep. They love easily. Yep. They're probably not critical of him. They don't have high expectations of him. But a partner and a wife sees through, and over 21 years, you see through him, right? And you know when he's full of it, mm-hmm. right? And you're no longer buying his shtick,
mm-hmm.
and that feels threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And usually over this amount of time, you start to get angry because they give so little. It's like if they were feeding you food, you'd starve to death, right? Yeah. And so...
Well, I wonder too, Esther, have you guys seen a counselor or a pastor? Have you approached your husband about this over the 21 years?
Yes. Yes, just like the caller from the previous day, he is absolutely against counseling. His advice to me is a wife only needs to listen to her husband. And I'm telling you, that type of advice has landed me 4 nervous breakdowns, 2 in a mental ward. Oh. So it is only by God's grace that I'm still here and I'm of my right mind, because having just listened to him, he wanted me to cut off communication with friends, family, church, mm-hmm. and only listen to him. And I engaged in that foolishness for so long because I said, oh yeah, the Bible does say the man is the head of the house. And he beats that into me, the man is the head of the house. But it's like, why aren't you a loving husband as Christ is? So, you know, I had to throw that advice away of only listening to the husband, because after the 4th breakdown during COVID, I said there has to be another solution.
Mm. And you know, Esther, one of the other things that the Bible tells us is that as a husband is the head of the home, he is also to be like Christ and lay his life down. And Steve says this often when we're at our marriage workshop, is that, you know, yes, the wife is to love the husband, but the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave up himself. He died for the church.
Right.
And so his approach is not exactly right. And I hope that you have consistently had care for yourself, because this is an extreme situation. And, you know, I don't know, Jill or Jackie, how would you direct Esther, knowing that this has been the past.
Esther, do you have your own therapist?
Because I do not.
Because I would think it would be helpful for you to have someone to be processing this decision with, even whether you stay or you go, you need to have someone to be processing with. Those breakdowns were evidence that there's a lot going on for you, and it's just you dealing with it. And so they were cries out, you needed some help, and you don't want to go back down that path again, but it you might need some consistent support, and he's not giving you any.
Right.
Your tank is completely empty. You're depleted. You still have four children that you're loving on and caring for. Meanwhile, he's not giving you anything, but possibly continuing to take. So maybe if there you can find a Christian counselor in your area to be walking through this.
We have some.
If you're making that decision.
Right. And I think even, he's very controlling. The fact that he's wanting to isolate you, those are not good signs, right? So I think sometimes you can, and he controls the money. But I think to say, you know what, I realize that I need help, that I have some problems. Because, see, part of their rejection of therapy and getting help is somebody might see through them, and they can't tolerate their own sense of badness at all. So to even go to a therapist means they're bad, and they hear everything as they're bad. So you take on the badness and say, you know, I realize I need help. I'm struggling. I've got some issues, and I'd really like to go to therapy to work on those things.
Yeah, and we can connect you with, we have some great therapists in your area that can help you with this. And you know, Esther, one of the most important things is that you pay attention to these warning signals that you've had in the last couple of years. It is imperative that you take care of yourself. Whether or not he condones it or approves it, that's not really here nor there. You're an adult woman who is able to seek help. And it's something that we say all the time. It's the hardest thing to ask for, but we want to encourage you as you take the step. Stay on the line, and we'll get you connected with someone who can help you in that area. And, we're going to send you... Oh, go ahead.
I'm having this thought, and Holy Spirit won't let me sit on it. The comments about the Bible, that being the Bible is not meant to chain you and imprison you. It's meant for freedom. And so anytime somebody is using Scripture to imprison you, it's a trick of the enemy.
Well, and they also don't feel very strong, right? So they're taking something that you value, and they're beating you up with it.
And God gives us freedom, right? It is for freedom that Christ came, that we would be set free, not that we would be held in chains and isolated. So, sorry,
and
Becky,
I think
for
sometimes,
cutting
you off. No, that's no.
That's
I love that
I'm
you paid attention
you
to
up.
The Holy Spirit urging, because the other part of that too is that we tend to take one piece of the text out and just say, this is the only thing. And there have been so many people who have been wounded by that practice. It's the whole Scripture. And we want we want your husband to be the man that God has called him to be. And because he has a belief, he has a faith, this, you know, this is even more important. And I think what you do for yourself is also going to be an impact on your children as well. It's going to show them, because you don't want them, if you have daughters or even sons, that this is the mirror, this is the prototype of how marriage is supposed to look. And, you know, that's the challenge ahead. But we'll be praying for you, Esther, and know that a therapist will be helpful for you as you go through the days ahead. Someone who's very helpful to me is Larry Sonnenberg, and I know that he is in the studio. Hey, Larry, I know we only have a couple minutes, and I promise you can have all the time in the world to tell us about how to support New Life.
Well, we have this matching challenge, and it's been a challenge. You know, the economy's not been good. There's been inflation. There's a war. There's $7 gas prices approaching in L.A. It's just crazy. And so it's been slow and hard to get, and we're not giving up on it, because we're not going to give up on you, our listeners. And the right people at the right time are going to come forward with this. We were hoping we'd get it done by early next week, the 31st of May. It may have to be extended. We've never extended a matching gift before, so we'll see. But Becky, I've got a testimony I'd like to read right after the break. It'll be short, and then we'll get to the call. But I just want to encourage folks that when you give, you're giving to something bigger than yourself. If you have never given, this is a challenge for you. It will be something that you'll be glad that you did. I just guarantee it. So we'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are hearing from Larry. He's got a great testimony of how your giving changes lives. Larry, go ahead and read that for us.
Well, just this first sentence of the testimony says, I will forever be grateful for New Life, New Life Live, for the vehicle God used to save my life. I went back to drinking almost 5 years in AA because I quit doing the necessary things to stay sober. I thought I'd die drunk. But after 23 years of continuous drinking, I found the radio program, and within 11 months, went to Healing as a Choice and later Take Your Life Back, as well as participating in Sustained Healing, a call group, for 5 years. I've been in recovery for almost 9 years now. I'm alive today because of God and New Life. What's a life worth? I know Jesus left the 99 sheep for the one lost sheep. I love all the New Life family and will continue to give back to what was so freely given to me. Oh, yeah, you know,
love
folks,
that.
Your giving saves people's lives. We don't save people's lives. God takes hold. His Holy Spirit touches people when they take that step to go back to AA, to quit doing the things they know they're not supposed to do. So please give. It'll be matched one for one. If you've got a big gift, we're ready for it. And even the small ones,
$5,
$10, it's very meaningful. It's your sense of sacrifice more than the amount of the gift. So thank you.
Well, I love that testimony, Larry.
Mm-hmm,
and I think that there are so many other people, because I talk to you all the time, and you say, mm-hmm. I don't know what I would have done without New Life. And so if you've ever thought about giving, or if you've never thought about giving, now is the time. And you can do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can also text the word MATCH to 28950-28950 and give in that way. And I also know our YouTube family is watching today, and there's a link there that you can give on YouTube as well. And we want you to participate in what God is doing through New Life. And so we celebrate those who are giving already, and we want to encourage those who are not to do so, because it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And like you just said, Larry, you know, what a difference a life makes, right? I mean, it's just amazing. I love that testimony. Well, let's go and help one other life today. And we are going to take a call from Rita, who's calling us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Listens on WFIL. Hi, Rita. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Yes, hi. Thank you. I'm calling just to, I'm praying for wisdom, and direction in a situation with my son who has been lived with me for 37 years, and he came down with schizophrenia. Oh boy, maybe, I don't know, maybe like 7 years ago that I knew of. And he's been in and out of hospitals for the past 5 years, in and out, but maybe stays for 10 days and then they discharge. And it's kind of sad, you know, there is no better help for people with his illness. And right now he has a caseworker coming to the house. There's been a caseworker coming to the house for like the past year and a half. They're wonderful. They are wonderful. And anyway, he is currently in a hospital now. And this hospital sent him on for what they call extended acute help or care, which means it would be another 3 to 6 months, possibly 9 months, they told me, that they would send him to. He's been in the hospital for like 2 months now, and he's on a waiting list for this other hospital. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the waiting list is like 6 months long just to wait for it.
Rita, is he doing well in the hospital?
Well, see, that's hard for me to say, because we're not allowed to visit, and that's probably better, because he would get homesick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he does call me. They put him on phone restrictions a lot, but I know he sneaks calls to me, and he'll just say, Mom, please pick me up, please, the doctor says I can leave, call the doctor, he'll tell you. And it's so confusing for me. I know the medication, I'm not happy with.
Rita, did you call the doctor? When he said call the doctor, he'll tell you I can leave?
I leave messages, but the doctor doesn't call back. Mm. So I left message for the social worker, and social worker I like because she has helped me in the sense that she's been my son, that this is out of your mother's hands.
Okay.
That, and
well,
I'm grateful
so if it's out of your hands, so Rita, what is your question?
Yeah, there isn't really a decision then.
No, well, I have a question, really. Rita. I have a question for you, Rita. Are you on the HIPAA form where they can share information with you? Are you his guardian?
Oh, yes.
Like, what kind of legal connection? Go ahead.
Oh, yes, yes. That's all been signed, the HIPAA form.
Okay.
Yes.
So you have a social worker, and the social worker has told him it's not up to your mom, it's out of her control, and you're praying for wisdom about... what?
Well, because it's not really out of my control. Mm. She is saying this to my son to help me, so because she knows I don't want to continue to say that.
Right, it's hard for you. Yeah. So Rita, it's the social worker sounds like a good advocate for both your son and perhaps for you. Like, can you talk to her or him about your son's care? And kind of process the decision making.
I have spoken to her about his care, and she assures me that, you know, he's in good care. And then I guess maybe I ask too many questions because I'm concerned about the medications that he's on. Because at the end of all this, I worry that he had an addiction in the past to certain medicines. And I just worry because there's been hospitals that put him on medication, addictive medicine, and then when they discharged him,
it's a lot, Rita. Mm-hmm. It is a lot. We're coming down to the end of the show, and I don't want to run you off because we want to give you some help. I wonder, you've got good communication with the social worker, and they say that there's nothing that you're going to be able, you know, like they're doing well. But I wonder if, you know, you can find support for you in the meantime, because there are a lot of parents who struggle with children and adult children who have mental illness and long-term mental illness. And I think that that can also help with some of the worry and the anxiety that you're experiencing as well. And I think maybe that's the next step for you in this process. And if you'll stay on the line, we'll get you connected with a group or a counselor in your area that maybe that would be your next step in processing some of these worries. You know, it's
because
really,
she's been the main caretaker of him.
Yeah,
so of
exactly.
course, and
yeah.
it's hard to trust when there's different people involved and not everybody's
Right. And he's what you've done with your time for 37 years.
Right.
Yes.
And now he's not there, and now they're talking about him not being there for another 6 months.
Yeah.
And
so
having some support for yourself could help you, because some of this could be because you're lonely. You're used to having that role in his life, and that might be unconscious, but it's something to look at. How can you care for yourself and find some support for yourself? Becky,
that's
I love
that
idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great way. And, you know, we've been talking about mental health awareness this whole month, and we've got some great discounts on some of our books. Check it out at newlife.com, or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know, we want you to have a new life, a good life. And we know that there are struggles, whether it's like what Esther talked about earlier, or like what Rita just talked about. You know, whatever the issue is, there is hope and there is help, and we can help you with that. Thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Jill, for your wisdom, and thank you, callers. And you know, if you haven't given, would you please consider being part of that match? It could make all the difference in the world for someone who needs help. And some of the counseling they get is here at New Life Live, and we want to keep going forward.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.